So let me short recall what we did the last time because we continue today with this. So in lecture two, we had the following and we continue today with lecture three. So we started with the exponential random walk and the strange thing is you don't see actually the exponential random walk. You see something which is related to that because the setting is in another way. But one can make a calculation and get the exponential random walk. Nevertheless, it is the exponential random walk, just with different formulas. And what is behind? So we all the time now we just do coin flipping. That might be disappointing. Because coin flipping is seems to be rather easy, but there can be, if you do research, there can be quite hard problems connected to coin tossing or coin flipping. So, what is done in general? So, if the problem is very complicated in finance, very often, even nowadays in research, the people use this simple coin tossing model to simulate share prices and then derive certain formulas or something like that. And they even check it numerically because with this coin flipping model, numerics is very, very easy in general. And if they do a more complicated model, then sometimes it doesn't give an answer, so you cannot simulate that. So that's why this coin flipping stuff is a good approximation in several applications for mathematical finance, and for us it is in the moment the model. So the formulas are actually not so easy. So the form the gun how to say what I'm writing down looks very complicated. So you should keep in mind actually it's easy. Maybe that helps. So we use coin tossing. We just use one coin and which we toss again and again. And we think that the tosses are independent from each other. And so what we had that we have heads. So we didn't have a probability to heads and tails that we do later on. So we just decided that if we toss heads, then our share price will go up by a certain constant, which is greater than certain factor, which is greater than one. And we have, if we toss tails, then it goes down by a factor, which is between 0 and 1. So in order to write down our results, we don't write heads and tails, because it's more convenient for mathematicians to write one and minus one. And this also reflects going up and down, but actually the factor is U and D, like up and down. Okay, so we collect all our outcomes in a vector. So we write one if we have heads and minus one if we have tails. And then we get, because we toss all together capital T times, we get a vector with T components, capital T components. And each vector is like a little omega in our probability space. So we collect all possible outcomes from coin tossing. And then we take the set of all the subsets to be, yeah, that wasn't even set. Sigma is not here. Yeah, but we can do that. So that's the set of all the subsets. And we are interested also in a filtration. So we start with F0, which is the trivial sigma algebra. And then this Fk was probably written in a complicated way. So we want to have in Fk all sets which we can describe just using the first k tossings. So in an abstract way, we can say that we have like something like an indicator function. So this function is mapping up from, but it's mapping from minus one to one to the k. So we just consider the first k components of our epsilon, which has in fact capital T components. So we have like epsilon one up to epsilon k, and then it goes on with epsilon k plus one up to epsilon capital T. And we only work with these, and they are only considered. So if I can ra describe a set in DT, usually I cannot, but if I can describe the set by just using the first k epsilons in such a way that if the whole T tuple is in A, if and only if FK, considering the first k epsilons, gives me one, and otherwise it's zero. So it's like an indicator function of the set A. So I could also say if I the set A is in DT, if I can write it write an indicator function of this set just using the first k epsilons. Okay. And then we considered examples. If you take the sum of the first k epsilons k, of course that is an FK. And if you take more epsilons, then it is not an FK. Okay. Yeah, so we said F is equal to F capital T, which is in fact the set of all subsets. And then we started to define our first share price. As I said, if we have heads, then it goes up by a factor u, and if it has tails, then it goes down by a factor d. Okay, and altogether, then at time k, we had u times u, and so on. Exactly how often we did toss heads, so the epsilon was one, and we have d, the factor d, exactly as often as we our coin tossing gave minus one or tails. Okay, and altogether this is k, and we can also write this in a different way. Okay, yeah, maybe it's good if we use green because we need this in the future. So that would be the product of u of p. So the p is a bit it's not so uniquely defined. So this is a bit of another p and a bit of another n, but maybe more useful. Maybe I should give it a p hat, but then it gets too many notations. Okay, so we take the product e from 1 to k. And P of epsilon I is 1 if epsilon I is 1, and that is 1 if epsilon I is minus 1 and otherwise 0. So did I write it somewhere? Yeah, so in fact it is the same. So this counts the number of positive epsilons and that of negative epsilon. So it's somehow similar. Just we plug in only one p, one epsilon. So counts. So if epsilon is negative, is minus one, then p of this epsilon I would be just zero. So then this factor wouldn't be there. Counts the number of positive and that of negative. Okay, so then we can write it also as a product, which is sometimes useful. Yeah, then we said that this SK is FK measurable because it depends only on epsilon 1 up to epsilon k, so that should be clear or believable at least. And what we want to do now is we want to come back to the concept of a martingale. I said already, a martingale is a model of a fair game. And we want to have a probability measure which looks at our SK process as a martingale. So we said already that being a martingale that depends on the measure. Okay, so where are we now? We continue with the next proposition. So this is now, so lecture 3 starts here. And we have the following proposition, which says that the set of martingale measures of the process S, which is SK, K from 0 to capital T. Did we actually say what S0 is? I'm wondering. Maybe not. So this is this that makes sense for K greater or equal to 1. So I should add here S0 of epsilon is 1 for all epsilon in our omega, which is dt. So this is also a definition, and this is also a definition. Okay. And that as well. Okay. So the set of martingale measures of this process is given by the set M of S, which we defined already a while ago. And what is it now? That is the measure P, which is given by P of 1 epsilon. I can write as the product P1 of epsilon 1 and so on, P1 of epsilon T. Where P1 of epsilon I is actually what was it? P, the direct measure of -1 of epsilon I plus Q, the direct measure of 1 of epsilon I. So this is, yeah, and P is given by 1 minus U divided by D minus U, and Q is given by D minus 1 divided by D minus U. Okay, so what we write down here is the following. So the measure P is given as a product. So the P on the T T tuple on this epsilon 1 up to epsilon T is given as a product where I compute the probability of the first component of this epsilon up to the last one. And each time I compute this probability as the sum of these Dirac measures. So in other words, if epsilon I is 1, I'm getting Q. And if epsilon I is minus 1, I'm getting P. So with probability P, the epsilon is minus 1, and with probability Q, the epsilon is 1. And this is for each epsilon the same. So this is exactly like a certain coin, which I'm going to toss, which behaves in that way. And you can easily see that I have uniquely defined the measure. So the set of Martingale measures, if this is correct, if this is the set, then it is just a singleton. So yeah, so this is the Dirac measure, as I said already. Of 1, and that the direct measure of minus 1. And as I said, as we can see from this representation in particular, the number of measures in this Martingale measure set is just 1. So there's a unique Martingale measure, which plays a role later on in our calculations. Okay, so we have to prove this. So what do we have to show? If it is a Martingale measure, that means that with respect to this P, which is given here, this S behaves like a martingale. So S is a martingale on omega. I wanted to write, but I can be more specific. DT FT P with this given P on above. So what do we have to check? First of all, we need to check if, so this is I'm going to show now. So we need to check that the expectation of S K, and now the expectation with respect to this P is finite. So is this true? We can write the expectation of SK, and actually we don't need to consider the modulus because SK is always non-negative, but nevertheless, I can write it like that. So that would be SK by definition of omega times the probability of omega. So I could compute this further, but I don't need to. The only thing I need to remind myself, this is a probability. DT is finite, so this is always less or equal to 1. I have a finite sum, and this SK of omega is also always a finite value because it is a value like that. And if I restrict myself until capital T, then I have always finite values. So it's easy to see that this is finite. So the reason is this is finite. And then also the SK. Now we need to show that the Martingale property is satisfied. So what do we do? So we show that SK plus 1 given FK is equal to SK. And we have learned that this can be done by showing that the expectation of sk plus 1 with multiplied with the an indicator function is equal to the expectation of sk with the same indicator function for all a in fk. Okay, that's the end of my sheet. Like that. Yeah, so we start. So I'm writing this a little bit differently. Where do we start? Okay, I'm going to write down what we need, and then we see that actually we have it. So I'm using this a different notation. So the left-hand side is nothing else than this integral. Okay, that's the same, just a different notation. And then we try to remember what actually sk plus 1 is. Namely, how can I come from sk to sk plus 1? Just by sk is the outcome of k times tossing the coin. And sk plus 1 I'm getting if I'm again tossing the coin. And what happens? I multiply either with u or with d, independence what the outcome was, heads or tails. So I can write it like that I have sk times u if epsilon k plus 1 was 1, or d if epsilon k plus 1 was minus 1. So that is my sk plus 1. So I'm writing the integral and dp epsilon. And then I try to remember what this dp epsilon is. And I claim that we can write this integral as follows. We have the integral over the set A, sk, dp 1 of epsilon 1 up to dpk of epsilon k times the integral with the second factor I forgot here equal minus 1 dp of epsilon k plus 1. Okay, there's almost no space. Okay, and the claim is, so here we have to explain something. So this is not so clear. So I'm just claiming that we can go from here to there, but we need to verify that. And my next claim is that the second integral, so this is really a product. So the second factor here is actually 1. Also, this we see in a minute. But if we have these both things, then actually that is what we need because we can end up in. Sk d. Yeah, and there's one other thing. Here I used only the first k probability, and that should be p1. That is wrong. It's all the time the same probability measure. I used to integrate only with respect to the first probability measure factors, so to say. But here I want to say that actually I can use also all factors. So the P was the product of the of T of such factors, and I can write it like that. So also this is not obvious without a little calculation. But if you have that, so we have to take care of the green question marks. And if you have done that, then that would be the Martingale property. So that is the Martingale property. Okay. So we take care of all the question marks. So maybe that is question one. And these I will see. So how to do that? That is just a calculation. So here we integrate. Yes, I didn't say what is the space. So this is just minus one, one. So we integrate over this space and we have a U of epsilon k plus 1 is 1 plus d epsilon k plus 1 is minus 1. And then we integrate with respect to this, yes, and I didn't write p1 here, sorry. I'm adding that. P1 of epsilon k plus 1. Okay, so what was this P1? That was just this direct measure linear combination. So that was what is connected with the minus one, that's the P. So we have P d to the minus one plus Q, the Dirac one. Okay, and the calculation is like that. If epsilon k plus one gives me one, if this is one, then I would get Q. And so I continue. And if that is one, then this indicator function gives me zero, and that would give one. So I get U times Q plus, and now we consider epsilon k plus one is minus one. Then we get P and D. And now we need to calculate. So what was P? P was here, 1 minus u divided by d minus u. Times d. And q was d minus 1 divided by d minus u. Okay, what do we get? We get u d minus u plus, so we have the same denominator, so I'm multiplying the factor in front with the numerator and adding up. Okay, so what's going on? U d minus du. And then we have d minus u, and here we also have d minus u, so we are lucky. Actually, this is one that we wanted to have. So it's exactly constructed. P and q are constructed such that it works, of course. Yeah, now it comes to the other things. So why Why can I have these equations? Yes. Maybe I should make some note. So this is a star with a red cross, a red star, question mark with a red star. So what was going on? So we had this function here, and we integrate with respect to this product measure consisting of capital T factors. And maybe I should first refer to something which you probably know from Riemann integration. So it's somehow like from Fubini's theorem. It is known. Sorry. If you have the following situation, if you, for example, integrate over R3, and then you have a product of two functions, f of xy, f x and y, and g of z, and you integrate with respect to the three-dimensional object, so x, y, z, then first of all, by Fubini, you can think of that you have three integrals, assuming that the conditions of Fubini are satisfied. So in our case, it would be non-negative numbers, so this would even be Tonelli, maybe. Okay, but actually it's bounded also. And in this situation now, it is probably, you just do it without even thinking normally. So you have an integral with respect to x, y, z, and you have a function which only depends on x and y and the other on z. So what you write is you take the integral with respect to x and y. And then the other one you can compute separately. So you get this product. But I don't have space. Like that. And this is exactly what's going on in this place here. So we have a function depending, this sk, we know depends on the first k epsilons only. And then it is enough to integrate with respect to this product measure using the first k. This one depends, this parenthesis, this product or factor just depends on the k plus first epsilon. So I'm integrating with respect to that. And then we would have maybe not integration from k plus first to capital T, but there we have one inside and we're integrating with respect to a probability measure. So we have a product of several ones, so to say. And I even didn't write that. So if I would be correct, I would write here times 1, 1, 1, 1, and so on. Okay, but that doesn't change anything. Okay, so that is behind this star. And yeah, so we can also write this in detail or a little bit more in detail. Because I just said it, and maybe I should not just telling things, but writing them down. So we have the space dt, which is just minus 1, 1, the cross product t times. Then we have the indicator function a. Now I'm writing it as indicator function of a. And epsilon s k plus 1 of epsilon d p of epsilon. Yeah, and the next step is just to think what we actually have. So by assumption, I can, because the A was in Fk, so I can write the A as indicator function of epsilon 1 up to epsilon k. And Sk plus 1, we already decomposed in Sk, which also depends on epsilon 1 up to epsilon k. And then we have this factor. U, how was it? I always forget. U times. I can also write it in that way of the set 1, and we plug in epsilon k plus 1 here, plus d minus 1 of epsilon k plus 1. And then we have d p1 of epsilon 1 up to d p1 of epsilon t. Okay. And then we just decompose as above. So we take minus 1, 1 to the power of k, and then we can write the indicator function and the sk. And we take the first k product measure factors. Then we have this linear combination. I'm just indicating a bit, I'm leaving off the epsilon now. So this is product with minus 1, 1, dp1. And then we would need to take the remaining ones with, but I said there's a 1 inside, and we have dp1 epsilon k plus 2 up to dp1 epsilon t. Okay, so this is now in very detail. So how many components do we have left? Altogether we have capital T. We used up K, and here we used 1. Okay, and you can easily see this gives you just a factor 1. This we computed is 1 as well, and this is we wanted to have. Okay. So, as I said already, this is 1, and this is 1, this we already computed. And with that, I have answered already also this one, because we would end up with integrating with respect to the first k product factors, but we can also add the other ones, because this will just be an expression like that. Okay, so actually this is answered. Here we answered both questions. So what do? I give it 2 star, and here we answer both of these. Okay, so we have shown that the martingale equation is true. And what else do we need to show? Let's check our proposition. So the set of martingale measures is given by this. Yeah, so we have figured out this is in fact the martingale measure in our situation, But the question would be, are there any others? Or is this exactly the only one? And the answer is, in fact, not so easy to show that this is the unique one. We need a bit more. So let's first summarize. It follows that P as defined above is a martingale measure. So in short notation, P is element to M of S. That's correct. And we continue with B, showing that in fact the amount of martingale measures is 1. So we have to show there's no other martingale measure. So how can we do that? Here we use the representation property. So actually many mathematicians are working on or have been working on representation property. I cannot tell you in detail what this is about, but I just say what is this in this situation. So it's time that we have soon a break because my writing device is getting tired already, but let me at least formulate the assertion. So S, our process, has the representation property. Which means, now I'm explaining what representation property is, that for any random variable z, which maps from our space omega, which is our dt, into R, there exists a process, so a collection of random variables, a family of random variables, vk, k goes from 0 to t minus 1, and vk maps also from dt to r, but it is Fk measurable. And there exists an alpha in R such that we can now represent our Z of epsilon to be alpha plus vk minus 1 of epsilon sk plus 1, no, sk is enough, minus sk minus 1. So maybe I should put epsilons here. And the k is going from 1 to capital T, and that holds for all epsilon in dt. So before we go to the break, so you take the process S, then I'm, or you're given the process S, then I give you a function Z from dt to r, and you have the task to find these vks and the alpha such that you can always, so for each given Z, you find vk and alpha such you can represent the Z always in that way. That is the representation property, in the sense that I can represent the Z by a constant and what is called a martingale transform, so this building. So we will continue with that after the break. So that's all for now.